Two kinds of anger: open rebellion or hostility exploding against authority. This is probably one of the most common, is exploding, hostile, in that of authority. If you don't teach your children authority, who is the boss, then they will never know who has authority over them. And how? What do you tell a child? What kind of authority do you teach a child? Someone help me out. What is the authority for a child? God, number one. Father, number two.
Whoever else around her, number three.
Mom, mother, teacher. But the authority is that. The authority goes to God. Teach them to love God. If they love God and respect God, most of the time you won't have to go too far else. Most of the time they'll be right there. When I was a youth pastor, I would teach the kids to really love God. And then parents would say, man, I've seen such a big change in my teenager. They listen. They're not as rebellious as they used to be because they have God as an authority. Stubbornness, resentment, indifference, bottled up anger. A lot of children hold anger inside. A lot of adults do too. Sometimes the anger builds up so much inside that it just has to come out. There's a time and place for a person to let things out. You should never let out your anger in front of your children. You should never argue in front of your children with a difference that you have with your husband or with your wife. You should never do that. Never. They should not see you arguing. They should not see you fussing. They should not see you mad at one another. It's so important that they don't see that, because then it puts fear in them. The first thing that comes to their mind is, mom and daddy going to stay together, or is mom and daddy going to get a divorce? Because that's what they hear in the school. That's what they hear from the others. You cannot and you should not be angry or fussing amongst one another in front of your children. You should not do that. Resentment. Resentment comes in different forms. Resentment comes because one child feels that maybe you've done more for the other child than you've done for them. Maybe resentment comes because you paid more attention to one child than you did the other. Should anybody love their children or one child more than the other child? Should they? Think about that. Do you love the children the same? That's important. They need to know that. They need to feel that mama loves me just as much as he loves my brother, my sister. Daddy loves me. How to rebuild relationships. Understanding each child differently. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see substance, and yet being unperfect, and in thy book all thy members were written, which were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Understanding each child differently. Each child is different. And you have to understand them and work with the understanding of the difference between them. And you don't tell the other one, well, you know, your brother's like this. Oh, man, your sister's like this. No. They don't need to know that. That's between you and them. It's not something that you, because you'll turn sisters and brothers against one another. You cause a lot of jealousy. Showing more attention to one and the other will cause jealousy. Encourage good behavior, Romans 13:7. Render therefore to all their dues tribute to whom tributes were custom, to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. It's so important that we realize that we have to encourage good behavior. I am so proud of you, son. I am so proud of you, daughter. Man, you did well. Boy, you're good. Man, high five. I mean, they have to know that you do that. And they have to see that from the grandparents. You know, grandparents are grouchy. Amen? And the kids will say, I'm not going over to the grandparents because they're too grouchy. And grandparents do get very grouchy. They get very impatient. Grandparents say, well, listen, I raised that bunch before. I won't raise somebody else's bunch. So grandparents get grouchy. They don't have the patience that they had when they were younger. And so you have to be careful, grandparents, that you don't get grouchy. Because they'll stay away from you. You got to love them and spoil them, care for them, and send them home. Amen? I mean, that's why. Remember one thing, they're going home. Amen? And after one day with my grandparents, with my grandchildren, I'm ready for them to go home. My wife may not be, but I am. She loves them to death. I mean, to me, them running here, running there, asking for this, asking for that, doing this, doing that, by the time the end of the day is over with, I am totally, completely worn out. Just watching them wears me out. Render therefore to all their duties tributes for tributes. Now, teaching skills from life situations. This is really important. If God's given you a skill, take time to teach that skill. Ladies, my wife likes to sew. She loves to sew. She makes jewelry and different. She's always done this stuff. My girls now, I'm not sure, but I think some of them are starting to get into some of that because are they a little bit? Tell me. Yeah, Suzanne likes to make wreaths. But Susan has always made stuff. But maybe it's because she made all the girls' dresses. So the girl said, I don't want any made dresses anymore. I'm going to go buy them. But, you know, we should teach them our skills. My son, my youngest son, he couldn't hold a hammer without dropping it or breaking something with it. He told me one day, he said, I'm just like my mother. And I said to him, son, I said, no, mama's okay. Mama does good. He said, don't give her a screwdriver, Daddy. But now Sean is really picking up. He's working with tools and doing things. But when he was younger, I could hardly get him to even do that. His oldest brother, that's all he does. The two boys are different, so different. One of them is so rough and tough. He owns his own business. And the other one is dressed up and he runs a business, but they're night and day. Night and day. Both of them have the same drive, but they're night and day. And that's the same thing with our girls. Our girls are night and day. They're not the same. So you have to treat each one of them a little different. Set examples in sensitivity of God. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Set examples. Be an example to them. Sometimes when the kids come over, grandkids come over, pray with them. Susan was praying with Kaylin. Kaylin was asking her questions about the Bible, and Susie was answering the questions. Be available, because sometimes they'll come to the grandparents before they'll come to the parents. Dedicate yourself and the children to God. This is so, so important. Every one of our children, we laid on the altar. Every single one of them. We gave them to God. Every single one we gave to God. I realized something one day that I couldn't do it. I needed God. And I said, God, they're yours. Every one. And so even today as they're grown, I'll tell them, I gave you to God. You belong to the Lord. You're God's. Sometimes parents don't want to give their children up when they need to give them to God. because God can do a better job than anybody can. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instantly in prayer. Apologize when needed. That's a tough one. Apologize to your child? Oh, yeah. I found out now, my kids are pretty smart. Wow. They're a lot smarter than I am. And sometimes I'll say, wow, let me ask you about this. And I'll get their opinion. Because they really are, in many ways, smarter than me. If I make a mistake, I apologize. It's the best thing to do. I'm sorry. Matthew 5:23, therefore thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thou brother hath aught against thee. Admonition of children, attentiveness, obedience, and honor. Proper standards and values, Romans 8:29. Setting up a set of standards for your children. How to solve problems and make decisions. How to love and serve others. How to begin a day with praise, Psalm 118:24. How to respond to a trial, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. How to return good for evil, Romans 12:21. How to be a good husband, wife, parent. How to be content, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. And how to choose a wife or husband. How do you choose? What are you looking for? You have to teach your children that. You have to tell them, you know. And they're going to choose who they want. But still have to tell them. I remember one time, I think I was 16. Yeah, maybe just 16. I brought the first girl home on it from a date. And my mother looked at her, and she was a nice girl. I remember her name was Carol Nelson. And my mother looked at her, and I had to take her back. I come back home, my mother said to me, she said, where'd you find that skinny, scrawny little thing and bring her here? And there wasn't nothing skinny and scrawny about Carol. She was a really, she was a Christian girl. But my mother, she had her own ways. Was that a discouragement? Yeah. No, you don't do that. When my daughter met, our one daughter met her boyfriend, and they were getting serious about one another, and I didn't like him, I did everything I could to break it up. I did. But I realized that I couldn't break it up. So I said, I'm stuck. But you know the reason why I did that? Because I wanted to make, he was older than her, about 8 years older than her. I wanted to make sure that it was a serious relationship. I didn't want to make sure it was a fling. So I was tough on him. And sometimes you have to be tough on girls' boyfriends. Sometimes you have to be tough on the boys' girlfriends. You have to be tough because they can choose the wrong one. And you just want to be honest with them. And say, you know, son, have you really thought about this? Have you really prayed about this? Daughter, have you done that? We are to teach by example. Teaching by example. Example of Christ's love. Church as an example. How to communicate and solve problems. How to know God's will. How to love the unlovable. Your view of truth. How to handle mistakes and fails and victory. Honor of work, time and giving. Tithing, your value system. Beauty, brain, and brawn. All of these are part of the elements of teaching a child. To let them realize these things are important. That they're going to grow up, they're going to be something. And it's up to the parent to make every effort for them to be the most for God. One of the big problems many, many times with parents and children is that children sometimes excel very much above the parents. And the parents themselves become jealous because the children excel. They shouldn't do that. Your children should always, you would want your children always to be better than you. That should be every parent's goal. I want my children to be better than me. I want them to be smarter than me. I want them to do better than me. And that should be the goal of every parent. That's what God expects out of us. He expects us to do that. Your value system. Sometimes you have to get with your children and explain to them the value system. What's more important? Your beauty? Your brain? Your toughness? Your relationship with God is the most important thing you need to have. Amen? children, raising them. Tough. But God does give us some principles in the Word of God. You have to sit down and set out your goals for every child. Sometimes it's good to sit down and say, I'm going to write these things down. And as the child grows and matures, you might be able to cross those things off. But you can't always get them to go the direction that you want them to go in, so you have to strive to get them to go in the right direction. That's what's important. And what is the right direction? To follow God. To follow God. God can direct their lives if you can teach them in the home how to pray, if you can teach them in the home how to study their Bible, if you can teach them in the home how to be disciplined and honor their parents, if you can teach them these things, you can bet that God is going to be with your child. But you got to teach them. Now here's another thing too. Children sometimes get away from it. Sometimes they go a little contrary to everything you've done. What do you do with that? The best thing to do with that is to be available and to pray and always make yourself available. Because at some point, because you've brought them up proper, they're just liable to call and say, Dad, Mom, we need to talk. You cannot run your child's life once they're grown. You can't do it. Don't even try to do it. All you'll do is cause conflict. My son said something to me one day, and I think I said this to you all already. My son said, he said, Dad, didn't you raise me right? I said, I tried to. He said, didn't you teach me right and wrong? I said, I tried to. Didn't you teach me how to honor God? I said, I tried to. He said, well, then trust me. I want to make the right decision. Trust me. Sometimes we have to just trust our children in their decisions and leave it in the Lord's hands, especially as they get older. Because as they get older, a lot of times they really don't want our advice. Now think about that. When as you grew older and you became more mature, did you want your parents' advice? Did you want Mom and Dad to tell you what to do? Huh? But honestly, in all sincerity, most people don't want their parents to tell them anything. I can make my own decisions. Am I correct? 100%. They just don't want it. Now, if you're different than that, praise God you were. I didn't want my parents to tell me anything. Because my parents were not a good example. And I didn't want to be like them at all. I wanted to go another way. And thank God I did. Because I probably wouldn't be what the Lord has allowed me to be today. Because I listened to God. And even though I wasn't even saved, I still was listening some way or another to do what was... I didn't want to get in trouble. I tried to avoid trouble. I got in trouble, but I tried to avoid it. People, let me tell you something. Your children are going to grow up. Let them grow up. Let them grow up. Because that's what God gave them to you for. It's for them to grow up and to go out on their own. When the last one of ours left the nest, it was tough. It was my girl. And when she left the nest, I was really upset. Because she was my little baby. I didn't want her to leave. But she said, I'm going, Daddy. Well, here it is years later now. And she's done pretty good. Kids will make their own. Just pray for them. Love them. And another thing, let me just say this because I think it's important. And the Bible teaches this. It's very clear about this. When your children reach a certain age and they get married, especially if it's boys or girls, the boy needs to be taught to take the leadership role of his family. And that's what the parent says. You're in charge. You take care of your home. The girl leaves the nest and comes under her husband. There have been times, and Susan and I could both tell you this, there have been times that I wanted to wring my son-in-law's necks. There have been times that I wanted to take them and just shake them. But I couldn't. Matter of fact, I couldn't even say anything. And I didn't say anything. You want to know why? Because I taught my children, I taught my girls, that when they got married, that they were to listen to their husband, to love their husband, to honor their husband, and to come under his protection. Whoever they chose, I said, that's what you are supposed to do. It's not dad. I didn't choose them to live with him. You're doing that. I don't have to live with them, but you do. So the great lesson that we learned was, and we have learned this, is that we pray for our children very, very, every day. We pray for guidance and wisdom for them, but we stay out of their affairs unless they ask us. We never, ever get into their affairs unless they ask us, because it causes more conflict than it does anything else with one of the mates. They don't want you there. And that's a great lesson. And I learned that in counseling, by the way, because counseling school told us that when parents get involved, many, many times, they actually get so involved they cause the daughter or the son to sin. And they cause the daughter or the son to actually want to come home instead of staying where they're supposed to stay at. You don't do that. One more thing. Children need to be turned loose. That means that you don't let them come home and stay at home until they're 50 years old. Go out and get a job. Make a living. Go get your own apartment. Make it on your own. Don't lean on me. I raised you. It's time for you to go make it on your own. That's important. If you read the scriptures, you'll see that's exactly what the fathers did. They went out and they told their children to leave. Go. Make it on your own. Don't lean on me. I've taught you what to do. Go do it. Don't be running back here and leaning on me. Make your own way. I have to say, my mother had a saying, and you probably heard the saying, you make your bed, you lie in it. That's what you do. It's hard. I can tell you, folks, it's hard. But God honors it. And if you do what's right, your children will do what's right. What is the saying, honey, that we were told, don't cause my child to sin. Don't cause them to sin. Make sure that you teach them right. Make sure you love them. But don't cause your child to sin. Any questions? Any statements? Sure. Probably about 8 or 9 years old. I never really had to do a whole lot. I really didn't. David, I had to spank David one time really bad because he raised his hand to his mother. And I did spank him pretty hard. He raised his hand up. Disciplining children, spanking them after 8 or 9 years old is probably not a good thing. By that time, you have to find other ways to discipline them. You really do. The best thing I used to do is find out what they liked the most and take it away from them. I know. Some children that doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, if you when they get up into the age, if you didn't spank them when they were young, trying to spank them when they're older, it won't work. It just will not work.
And it was related to them, brother.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you a little story. It's kind of cute. I was pastoring in South Bend, Indiana, and I had this thing with our children because they would come in and they would sit with their mother in the church. And Susan would say to them, "Now you be good because Daddy's up there preaching." And I would kind of keep an eye back there. And one morning I was looking back there, and Susan was having a hard time with one of them. And I looked at them, and they saw me looking at them. And they knew that Dad was a little upset. And they just kept on. So I stopped preaching, came out of the pulpit, went down to the back of the church, took them by the arm, took them outside, spanked them, and brought them back in, and went back up and started preaching again. I cannot tell you how many people in the church came to me afterwards and said, "Pastor, we've never seen that before." I said, "Well, my children are going to mind. They're going to listen." And I didn't have any more problem in church with them after that anymore, because I embarrassed them. That embarrassed them. I have to spank them. So, I mean, sometimes you have to do things that are out of the ordinary, and that's what I did. But you have to discipline your children. They have to know what no means. Another thing, when I was in teaching in the school system and stuff like that, and in our Christian schools and stuff, I could just look at a child, and I could just look, and the child would say, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble." It was the look of death or whatever it was that I gave to them, because it's so important they understand that there is an authority over them. There is an authority, and you have to teach them that. But after they reach teenage years, if you haven't taught them any authority by the time they reach teenage years, you got your hands full. You got your hands full. But you still can. You can still turn them around. You really can. But it's a whole different ballgame. It's a different psychological way of going about it. It's no longer being the big bully and saying, "I'm daddy and I'm going to bust your butt." Now you have to find out how you can get to them and how you can solve the problem. What is most important to them? You know, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they asked me, they said, what can I use to discipline my teenage daughter? And I said, "What does your teenage daughter like?" "Oh, she loves her phone." I said, "Take her phone away. Take her phone away." So you're not getting your phone back until you start doing what you're supposed to do. I don't know what happened, come off of that or not, but I mean, that's what I would do. I'd take the phone away. I'd take the thing that they like the most, take it away. That's what I would do. Now, you can't lock them up in a room and put a key on the door and chain it all in, because they'll find a way to go out the window. I mean, that's kids, you know. But you just have to really love them and try to talk with them. Teenagers are the hardest. Girls between the ages of 12 and 15 are almost, wow, whew, tough, really tough. Huh? 12 and 15, actually 12 and 16. 16 years old, they really think that they're grown. You know, nobody can tell me what to do. I am a woman. Boys, a little longer most of the time. It's usually 16, 17, 18 years old, that's when they really get the most rebellious, unless they hang around the wrong crowd. But girls start early. Always. Any other questions? Yes, sir. All of everything I do usually ends up in a book sometime or another. Everything I do ends up there. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. Yeah. There's not much that I don't do that doesn't end up in a book. Some type of study guide or something, you know. Did you all glean anything from what we've done? What's your opinion of what we've done? In the teaching that we've done, what's your opinion of it? Yeah, every night, if anything we've done. Special needs children are much different than, yes, very different, very different. I didn't touch on special needs at all.
It's hard because, like, I grew up in church, and most of the mentality of
I don't think grandparents should discipline the grandchildren. I don't really think so. I think they should tell them, listen, if you can't mind, then you can't come. If you can't come to my home. Because I'm not going to take the responsibility for my... I mean, I'll tell them no or make sure that they behave themselves. But, I mean, when it comes to ever spanking one of my grandchildren or doing anything, I would never do anything like that. That's not good. That's not good. That's the parent's responsibility. I would tell the parent, listen, you know, such and such is not doing too good, and maybe you need to talk to him, you know, because I felt like spanking him, but I just really think that needs to go to the parent. When I ran a Christian school, let me tell you something, I had a Christian school, I never spanked a child. The parents would spank the child. I would bring the parents in and say, you know, your child needs discipline. There's the paddle. Take care of it. And you know what? The children hated that more than anything else because it was more embarrassing to them for their own parents to come in and discipline them. Only one child did I have to spank one time, and that was out in Washington State. It was a Mexican boy. And he was one of the most rebellious boys I've ever seen. His dad had spent many years in prison, many years in prison. And he had three children, right? Three. Kurt had three, right? Yeah, he had two girls and a boy. And the girls were good, but this boy, he was really something else. And we had him in a Christian school, and he just would not listen. And one day, I just brought him into the office, and I said, you know, we got to do something with you, son. You're just bad. And I called his father. And Kurt said to me, he said, you're the principal, you're the pastor, take care of it. So I told the young boy, I said, I don't want to spank you. But I said, and he was about 14 years old, And he said to me, I can handle it. He said, I can take it. He said, whatever you got, dish it out, preacher. That's what he said to me. Dish it out. And I had this great big paddle about this long. And that thing had holes in it. And when you swung it, it went shoo. And so I had him grab over to the desk. And I took a swack and hit him in the butt. He turned around and he said, he said, is that all you got, preacher? That's exactly what he said. I looked at him and I said, what? He said, is that all you got? I said, no, I got a little bit more. He said, well, go to it. I read back and I hit him pretty firmly. He turned around, he smiled at me and he said, you know, my daddy does that at least once a day to me. And I don't cry. It's not going to hurt. And I thought for a moment, I said, dear God, what am I going to do? I said, you know what? I'm going to give you one more swing. He said, well, let's get it over with because I got things I got to do. Man, I reared back. And I hit that butt boy in the butt with that paddle. And I mean, his old butt went, whoa! He turned around and tears came out of his eyes, just flying everywhere. And he reached around and he gave me a big hug. And he said, I know you love me, Pastor. I know you love me. I never had another problem with that boy. It hurt me to have to spank him. But I did. I gave him a good swack. And his father came to me later and he said, man, preacher, you did a good job. What's that boy's name? Dirk. Dirk was his name. But he was tough. That boy would sit there and drink a bottle of hot sauce. Just literally drink it. Huh? Not me. Whole bottle of hot sauce. But he was tough. But that was probably the only boy that I ever had to really spank in Christian school. I don't remember any of the others. Most of the time we had the parents do it. Anybody else? Is there any areas that you think that we could cover more? If there's something that we could get into that you think would be helpful to others as an area. What's your thoughts toward that?
Teaching children. I don't think there's enough. I know that I didn't, when I became a father, I never thought about teaching my child. I thought it was just
you are the responsibility. I'm not the responsibility, you are.
No, I know that. No, teaching parents to teach.
Oh, I see.
That's what I meant. Because that's one thing I noticed over and over again with all my peers. They don't read their Bible to the children. They don't teach the children the Bible. Whatever the child gets in the church is what they go with.
So, what you're saying is some type of materials for them to teach their children.
Because it's not the church's responsibility.
No. Anybody else? Something that we can, huh? I know how to tell you to stop that. I can tell you how to stop that. Huh? Huh? I can tell you how to stop that right away. I can tell you how to stop that right away. And how you stop that is plain and simple. You sit down with your parents, you sit down with them and say, listen, these are my children. I love you and I want you to be a part of them. But when it comes to certain things, that's my responsibility. And if you're going to do something, go outside of that authority, then you're not going to be able to see them. I'm not going to let you see them. That's what you do. That's your responsibility as a parent. It's not their responsibility. You have to take that stand. And sometimes parents can be very dominating. They can really, they say, well, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Well, that's. Then talk to me about it and help me, but don't do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. But you have to take that stand. You really do. You have to say, uh-uh, it's not going to go there. Yeah. Yeah.
And she was mom. And
yeah.
I had to finally say, this isn't working because you can't respect. And we get along much better now. And there's still times where you have to redirect. Redirect.
Growing up, I always said two women in the same house is never a good thing.
Well,
after 4 years, I'm ready for a split.
The thing about it is that remember that there's certain things that you just have to do. You have to not think about feelings. You have to think about what's right. And We have been that way. We've always been that way, you know. That, you know, it wasn't our parents' responsibility to raise our children. It was our responsibility. Even today, and I think Susan will tell you this, we love our grandchildren very, very much. And we would do anything we could for our grandchildren. But we do not take away the responsibility of their parents to provide for them and to take care of them. We do not do that. We do not do that. That's their responsibility. It's not my responsibility to discipline them. If my son asks me a question about something, I will do my best to answer it. But I do not tell them what to do. And I do not go to their home and I do not discipline their children. There's things that I see with my grandchildren, man, if they were my kids, man, oh, jeez. And my kids never got away with it. But I see my grandchildren do things that I just would not go over with me at all. But I don't say anything. I keep my mouth shut. Can't. It's just not going to work because it's going to cause conflict. And so you have to tell whoever it is, you have to say, listen, I love you, but these are my kids. I'm going to discipline them. Don't confuse them. Don't confuse them.
Mm-hmm. And there's behaviors that they tolerate that I would never, it makes my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
But we have rules when they come to our house. You know, I put kids in timeout chairs at my house. Do you think that's an appropriate, are you saying that that's
no.
overstepping?
No. I think the thing boils down to this, is when you come to my house, okay, the parents need to understand that, hey, there's different rules. At granny and grandpa or aunt and uncle's house, there's different rules. You have to abide by those rules. Now, if they leave them there with you and you have that responsibility for them, you have to make sure. I wouldn't spank them, but I would never spank them, but I would say, you know, this is our rules. Don't do that. It's like, I told you about my daughter. She got married. I think I told you that, how she got married and we were getting ready to go to Ukraine. And she called on the phone and she said, Dad, I've had it with Ben, that was her husband. I'm coming home. Can I come home? And I said, we're on our way to Ukraine. I said, you can come home. And so she came home, walked in, and sat on the couch in the living room there and said, phew, it's good to be home. And I looked at her and I said to her, I said, daughter, I'm glad you're here, but you know now that you left Ben and came out from underneath his protection. Now you've come back to Daddy, and you know Daddy's rules. You know Daddy's rules. She picked up her phone, and she called Ben, and she said, Ben, I'm coming home. She's never, ever called back. Never, ever. Because she knows the rules. They need to know the rules. They need to know the rules at their grandparents' home. And they need to abide by those rules. But the grandparents don't have the right to discipline them unless it's something that is really, really necessary if a child's going to hurt itself or something like that. But basically, I don't think it's right for grandparents to spank a child, a grandchild. I don't think that's right. I just have a problem with that. I would never do it.
Well, I would slap
a kid's
hand going to the other.
Oh, yes. Now, I didn't say that. I said if they're going to hurt themselves, it's a different story. But I mean, if it's not going to hurt themselves, it's just something that they're doing that they need their butt spanked, I would just let mom and daddy do it. Or I would say to mom and daddy, if the child comes back over my house and misbehaves, I may have to spank him. Do you want me to do that? That's what I would ask. I would say, do you want me to spank him? Because I'm not going to spank him without your permission. Because that's a permission thing. That's not something that you take upon yourself. That's asking the parent. We wouldn't even, in Christian school, we never did that. We had rules. We always told them, I got away from this fact of discipline. I wanted the parents to discipline their children. Parents should do that. Some parents don't want to discipline their children. And so.
She'll say, that's not right, you can't hit me, but he doesn't comprehend that. There's no consequence. Why can't I hit you?
I got an email the other day from a mother asking me about that. She asked me about her son was kind of getting a little bit rough with her. And she said, what do I do? And I explained to her the importance of stopping him. Because if she didn't stop him now, later would be, it would be terrible later. So, yeah, you have to, there's certain things you have to do. I go in the store sometimes and I get so upset, I watch a child just really talk back at its mom and call them names and do all kinds of things. And the mother stands there and says, ah. There'd be no ah with me. You know, but I can't, I can't do anything. You know. Anybody else? Okay. Pastor?
Hopefully you realize what the husband and wife is, what your families are, learn a little bit. Yeah. Our society has its own ideas. Our society knows that there is no spirit or relationship, nothing. Everyone does what they want to do. You get married for tax purposes, and you it does what you leave, right? That's a perfect example where that happens. You want to know what the end result is? They were way ahead of the rest of the country. That's where everyone's going. We see what happens if we don't follow the biblical principles. We don't follow the proper heads. We don't follow the proper rules. We end up in absolute anarchy. What happens in Detroit? Boys aren't being raised. No discipline at all. That's why we have all the gangs there. So hopefully, they say, well, we want to do this. We want to show exactly what the biblical standards are. Guess what? We did it. We are so thankful once again for your word, showing us what exactly it is that we need to do to honor you, showing us what it is to have joy in your families, showing how to set families up, the wisdom that you give. Lord, if we found it, we would have children that would raise, be trained up and not depart from your ways when they're old. Lord, it's the father's fault. It's the mother's fault when children go far astray because they don't follow your word. Let us teach them to follow your word. Let us show them how to raise children up to care and admonition from the Lord. Let us show them how to raise your children to raise up to be proper citizens of heaven, proper citizens of the United States, that we may draw others as they see the difference between what the world does and what the church does. Lord, we're so thankful for Dr. Smells and Dr. Bellinger came in and shared their insights with us. Let us take these words and let us move forward and let us learn. We ask it all in the precious name. Amen.
Amen.